Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
On WNYC, check out our weekly web video picks. Every week we pick five pieces from YouTube and elsewhere online, and I host them in a picks video. This week's videos include a San Francisco singer-songwriter's ode to Paul Krugman. Go to WNYC.org/video for our weekly online video picks. Now here's something we might rather not know, even if it's true, that early detection of cancer might not mean much. Newsweek science writer Sharon Begley had a piece last week called The Myth of Early Detection, and she joins us now. Hi, Sharon.
Good morning, Brian.
Is the recent prostate cancer screening study the impetus for your article?
It was. Plus, I'm sorry to say, just hearing about so many other attempts at early detection that have just not lived up to expectations. But yes, the prostate cancer trials were the immediate trigger.
And remind us briefly, what did they find on that again?
Yeah, these were two trials, both published last month, March, in the New England Journal of Medicine. One was run in the United States, one was run in Europe, and the methodology was basically the same in each. There were thousands of men who did have a PSA test, which, as you know, tries to detect early signs of prostate cancer. That test was given to the men every year. And then in the other arm, the so-called control group, these were men who were not assigned to have the PSA test, and the men were followed for a number of years, and their mortality from prostate cancer was compared. Various studies can look at different endpoints, but I think ultimately what we all hope is that these interventions will keep us from dying from cancer, so that's why this study looked at mortality. And the bottom line was that there was either no difference in mortality in one of the studies or a 20% decrease in mortality in the other, but when you merged the two studies, they basically came out to no significant difference in mortality. As I say, there's some disagreement about whether, we should really look at that 20% decrease and say, wow, there's something here, or whether, in fact, when you run the statistics, that disappears. But, the bottom line, it has not lived up to expectations.
But before we just leave men with the message, don't bother to get a PSA test, it's complicated, isn't it? I think we're seeing with the prostate cancer finding, as it applies in clinical practice, that if your PSA level is rising over the years, it's more of a warning sign, and that some prostate cancers are more aggressive than others, so early detection can be a guide to treatment if the information is interpreted by the doctor with enough complexity, or wouldn't you even go there?
No, I think that's perfectly fair. And the recommendation from, for instance, the American Cancer Society, which has not recommended regular PSA screening since 1997, so this is not, like a brand new thing, but ACS does talk about having men have, significant conversations with their physician about what their personal risk factors are. And indeed, just as you said, Brian, rather than looking at a single number like, 4 or 5, look at whether that has changed over the years, which may indeed be an indication that you have to pay attention to something. But the problem even there is, the reason early detection and early and screening has not lived up to the promise is that they tend not to detect. They don't find the aggressive cancers that you just referred to. What they tend to find are the very indolent, so-called very slow-growing ones that, frankly, as one wag said, the way all men want to die is to be shot by a jealous husband when they're 95. And, you can have these cancers in you, sort of horrifying as it is to think of. But, yes, you can have a cancer in you until you're run over by a bus or killed by something else at, a very ripe old age.
Shot in your sleep by a jealous husband when you're 95. What, what about all those mammograms and colonoscopies? Are you saying they're for nothing?
Well, I talked to a number of people, primarily at the National Cancer Institute. So let's look at mammograms. There, again, and we're talking about screening mammograms. So a woman who has no elevated risk factor, presumably due to genetics or some personal or family history, she's just going in following the recommendation, again, of the American Cancer Society to get screened, to have a screening baseline mammogram at age 40 and then to have a follow-up every year. There, too, it turns turns out that in the best study ever done, again, same methodology, compare women who do get screened regularly to those who do not, there was no decrease in mortality in, and this is a crucial asterisk, in the age of so-called adjuvant therapy, and that's the age we're in now. That means that you have chemotherapy after, God forbid, you know, a cancer is detected and it's taken out either by surgery and sometimes radiation. And that's key because it suggests that, again, and this is certainly something to celebrate, that the progress in chemotherapy is such that even when cancers are found late-ish, the chemotherapy can help enough so that you're not that much worse off than the woman whose cancer was found early. And that's the reason that the mammogram studies have not shown a greater decrease in mortality.
Colonoscopies. I remember when President Bush made a big show of publicizing his own colonoscopies and saying all you people over 50 should do this.
And indeed, that's also what ACS recommends. There does seem to be some decrease in mortality. And of course, the great thing about colonoscopy is that, unlike mammogram or PSA, when they find something, they get rid of it immediately. I mean, that's why, you know, a real colonoscopy has advantages over a virtual colonoscopy. When the doctor is in there, if he finds a polyp, he can, you know, excise it immediately and biopsy it so you know what you're dealing with. But interestingly, if you're, you know, if your primary focus, let's say because of a family history or personal history or your diet isn't that good, what you're really worried about is colorectal cancer, your best bet is the fecal occult blood test, and that is done annually. It's very easy. It's certainly less invasive than a colonoscopy. It's cheaper. Doctors have no trouble doing it, and that, it turns out, has the best evidence for reduction in mortality from colorectal cancer.
But there are widespread beliefs now that go against this. I mean, in my own family, I have an uncle who died of colon cancer at 60. And other people in his family had colonoscopies, found polyps, and are living to ripe old ages. And the doctor said, once told the doctor the story, he said to me, your uncle would be alive today if he had had a colonoscopy, which he didn't.
Well, and I've heard that from so many readers, and I think it reflects the fact that we all want to hold on to some hope that we have control over whether cancer is going to kill us. I mean, I heard from many readers who have had the PSA test and who said that, how can you say that it did not help me? My doctor found an elevated or a rising level. They went in, they found that I had prostate cancer. I was treated, and I'm alive today, and thank God for the PSA test. The problem with that sort of anecdote is that you can't run the same person's life in parallel. You can't run that man's life as if he did not have the PSA test and everything that followed with it, because, again, it's possible that the cancer that was growing in him would never have threatened his life. Now, in the case of, you know, your relative who did die of colorectal cancer, that's why, as you can tell, I was sort of cautious about colonoscopies, because there does seem to be evidence that it saves lives. Unfortunately, that evidence is not as strong as with just plain old fecal occult blood screening.
Okay, so here's where it gets even more complicated. The Obama stimulus bill spends $1 billion on something called comparative effectiveness research.
Yep.
And this program is taking flack from the right as setting the stage for government rationing of health care. I think it's more complicated than that. We ration health care in this society all kinds of ways. But are you familiar with this, the Obama program to grade how effective different health care practices are?
I am. And in fact, that was my column a few weeks before this cancer screening one.
Oh, I'm sorry, I missed that one.
No problem.
But I imagine that they'll determine that preventive care, including these early detection screenings, is in general very effective. What do you think the chances are that they'll come out with a position that cancer screening is money not well spent?
Let me give you an on-the-ground example of what would happen if they tried. There was a clinic in Los Angeles that served disadvantaged women, many of them minority women, and the American Cancer Society a few years ago came out with a recommendation that it was not necessary to have an annual Pap test for cervical cancer if you had three normal tests in a row, 3 years in a row. So, you know, the people who ran the clinic said, look, there's this new recommendation. You don't need to have the Pap test that you're here for. You know, it's great that you're aware of this. It's great that you came in, but you don't need it. And the women there said, what the heck do you mean? those women up there, those rich white women in Beverly Hills, are having the Pap test every year. You're telling me you're not going to give it to me? So if the Obama administration, as part of its health reform package, I think, tries to limit cancer screening for early detection and, well, let's face what we're talking about here, is limit reimbursement for it, there would be such a firestorm of protest that nothing else they try to do with health care reform would go through.
You'd almost have to argue that not only screening is a myth, early detection is a myth, but that treatment is a myth. Because if they find these cancers and treat them, and then the life expectancies are unchanged, then does it mean all this chemotherapy and radiation and everything else we're throwing at cancers don't make a difference?
Well, you've put your finger on something very important. If the chemotherapy or other treatment you have is terrific, then it doesn't matter if the cancer is found early or late, because the person will be fine anyway. The chemotherapy is just so powerful, it will wipe out the cancer early or late. And that describes testicular cancer. Just because of various peculiarities of the biology of testicular cancer, and thank goodness we have fabulous chemotherapy for it, you have an excellent chance of surviving testicular cancer, whether it's found early or late. On the other hand, for glioblastoma, which is a form of brain cancer, and for pancreatic cancer, chemotherapy and the treatment in general is sadly just so ineffective. If you find it really, really early, you're still facing a really uphill climb in terms of surviving it. It's for cancers in the middle, Brian, where breast and colorectal and certainly lung, which are some among the major killers, where the treatment is just sort of so-so that you'd think it would make a difference finding it early or late. And that's what we keep hoping. And maybe there's even earlier than what we now understand as early detection. And that's where a lot of the research is pointing.
So do you think early detection has become such a widespread belief, mostly because it gives us a sense of control, even if it's to some degree false? Or is this an industry campaign to get us to spend money on their tests?
I think it's more the former, and maybe I'm being naive about this, but again, just based on the reader responses that I got to the column, people are just apoplectic at the idea that these screening tests that they go in for faithfully, mammograms or PSA, they're having their colonoscopies, they're doing all the things that they were told to do, and really it is just because this is the only little bit of power they have against cancer. Now, mammograms, nobody makes a whole lot of money on them. In fact, doctors are sometimes reluctant to do them because the reimbursement stinks. Some of the other cancer screening tests, yes, somebody's making money, but it's not, it's certainly not the big bad drug companies. So I really think it comes back to us, to people who understandably are desperate for any sense that they have some control over whether cancer is going to send them to an early grave.
Let's get a quick reaction from Jane in the Bronx. Jane, you're on WNYC. Real quick,
don't get nihilistic about screening. Not all cancers are the same, and not all screening tools are the same. So that's why we have studies to look at this. And the other thing I feel like you're not talking about is the incredible cost, psychological and probably financial, about false positives. If you do a lot of screening, you're going to get a lot of people who get told they have cancer, at least in the beginning, and then it turns out they don't. There's a cost involved in that, so you better darn well be preventing some deaths from cancer if you're going to put people through that misery.
Sharon Begley?
I completely agree. A study that came out just last week actually looked at mammograms in women over 50, and they saved 1.8 lives over the course of 15 years for every 1,000 women screened, and scores of those 1,000 women had exactly what the listener described, which is false positives. So they had the torment of thinking, oh, my God, I have cancer. Many usually had a biopsy. They had some kind of surgery, and then it was, oops, you're okay. You didn't need this.
And Vic in New Jersey is extremely skeptical. We have 30 seconds left in the program, Vic. Do it in 10.
Okay. The fact that if cancer is found early, if it hasn't spread to other vital organs like your spinal column, like your brain, like your heart, I think you're much better off.
And especially if you find something that can be surgically removed. No, Sharon Begley?
Yes, except it turns out that those metastatic cells leave the site of the primary tumor even earlier than we thought, even earlier than the primary tumor has been detected.
But therefore, not in all cases.
In most cases, it turns out.
All right. Well, this debate goes on. The troubling question raised in Sharon Begley's column in the April 6th Newsweek. headline, The Myth of Early Detection. Thank you very much, and we'll have to have you back to maybe talk about some of the rationing debate, which is going to get very interesting and very complicated.
Always fun. Thanks,
thank you,
Brian.
Megan Ryan, Lisa Allison, Jody Avergan, Kate Hines produced this program. Annie Schreffler is our Uncommon Economics editor, and that's Debbie Fountain at the audio controls. I'm Brian Lehrer.